Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Penance is a Catholic idea that says you have to do something to pay the penalty for your sin. You pay it off, you know, whether it's through doing some sort of religious work or saying some Hail Marys or going to purgatory or whatever. You pay it off, and that's penance. We don't believe in penance. We can't pay anything. We can't. Our debt is unpayable. We saw that last week. It's unpayable. Penitence is not feeling bad so that you can pay the price of your sin. It's just simply the appropriate emotional response to having offended someone you love. It's the response of love. And love is good. Do you understand? This is a crucial question. This is very important to understand the difference between penance and penitence. We don't pay for our sin, but we do feel appropriately. Next one. My question is about the six-pack abs. The Bible directs us to take care of our own bodies. We don't all need to be concerned about having the body of a professional athlete, but isn't overeating just as much a sin as overdrinking? Overindulging is overindulging, no matter where it happens. If you constantly overindulge in something, don't you stand that to become your idol? Okay. I figured this might happen. This is a situation where somebody has gone to a lot of work to develop some six-pack abs, and they don't appreciate me disparaging that, because that's a lot of work. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If I had six-pack abs, I wouldn't be preaching against them, I tell you that. Now, I appreciate this question. This is a good question. I think that we need to, that verse that I quoted, remember, it says, physical training is of little value. It's little compared to spiritual training, but it is value. There's value to being healthy. If you're unhealthy, if you abuse your body to the point where you're not able to serve, that violates the whole servanthood model of the Christian life. God has called you to work in this life, and if you're so out of shape, if you make your body, if you damage your body so much through neglect or through foolishness or whatever, that you can't go help a friend move because you're just so out of shape, or you can't do this, or you can't serve, you're laid up, you need people to wait on you all the time. If that happens to you and it's not your fault, that's one thing. But if you do it through neglect, if you cut years off your life, if you're supposed to be providing for your family and you're going to die at age 60 instead of age 80, and you get 20 years there where you deprive your family because you were foolish in eating too much or whatever, then yeah, that's wrong. That's why I said it teaches us two things. The fact that Jesus devotes a short thing in the Lord's Prayer to physical needs and on the tells us two things. And the first thing is physical needs are important. They're just not as important as spiritual. See that? Is overeating just as bad as overdrinking? No, because the Bible specifically condemns drunkenness. Overdrinking is two sins. It's the idolatry of finding pleasure in a physical thing rather than God. That's one sin. And then it's the sin of drunkenness on top of it. That's two sins. Overeating is just that first sin. So they're both that first sin in the same way. They're both idolatry, but then that other one adds a second one. All right, then the last question. God fully forgives us, but you have said that when we die, we will be filled with shame on Judgment Day because of all of our past sins. Why will all of our sins, even though forgiven, be rehashed on Judgment Day? Or did I understand what Judgment Day might be like? Boy, that's a hard question. I don't know how to answer that question. That's kind of a mystery to me. I don't know, other than to say this. On Judgment Day, there will be evidently some consequence for the sin in our lives. And I don't know if it's consequence only for unrepentant sin in our lives, or if it's all the sin. And I don't know the nature of that, but I do know that you can receive consequence for sin even after having been forgiven, just like David did, right? He was forgiven, but he still had lifelong consequences for his sins. And so it's possible on Judgment Day that we'll receive some consequence, even though our relationship with our Father is fine. And I think that on Judgment Day, he will reassure us of that. In fact, I know he will, because the Bible says he will. He will, you know, if we confess him, he will confess us, and he will not be ashamed of us on that day, and he will make it clear, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter. That'll be crystal clear on Judgment Day. But the whole giving account thing, I just don't know. The Bible just doesn't say that much about what that giving an account means. So it should impact, it should serve as a motivation for us to avoid sin. Beyond that, I'm afraid that's all I can say. I wish I had a better answer. That's just something that's kind of mysterious to me. What are the different levels of sin? I thought all sin is sin. Answer, all sin is sin, but the different levels have to do with things like circumstances of how much light you've been given, how much knowledge you have. Sinning against knowledge in Scripture is always more severe than sinning in ignorance. If you have known something, God has made it very clear, he's given you a lot of spiritual privilege, a lot of resource, and you sin against that, that's more severe than somebody who doesn't know anything and they stumble into that same sin. That's one factor. There are various different factors. Sometimes when it's particularly harmful to God's church, then that is viewed in more severe terms in Scripture. So those are just a few things. So yes, all sin is sin, but not all sin is identical. What if a believer sins big and dies without time to repent, in a car crash, illness, whatever? So you're a Christian, you're not lost, you're a Christian, but you sin and God is displeased with you, and maybe you're like the people in Corinth where he actually put you to death. Or you die, you know, not because of that sin, but for some other thing. You just hit a bus or whatever and you're dead. What happens? Well, you go to heaven. I'm talking about this temporal forgiveness. It has nothing to do with your salvation being saved or lost. You're not at risk of going to hell because you die with some degree of disfavor with God. If you're a Christian, you go to heaven, period. Now, if you're continuing in unrepentant sin and you die, there's a question of whether or not you're actually a Christian, because 1 John says Christians are the type who confess their sins and repent of them. Did I understand God forgives us but still has consequences? Yes, that's true. That's a correct understanding of what I was saying. There are times when you're forgiven and there's still consequences. There's still, just like David, you're forgiven, David, but you're still going to have lifelong consequences. And that's how it is in the family. You know, have you ever had an experience with your parent or your child where your dad's really upset and you got some kind of consequence? You got to mow the yard for the next 3 months or something, and that's the consequence. But then you talk to your dad, you sit down, you hash it out, you confess, you get tears. He says, "Okay, I forgive you. It's over." He hugs you. You reconcile. Everything's great now between you and your dad. You go out for breakfast. You're happy. You come back. You mow the yard, right? Because you still got the consequences. Yeah, there's the consequence. And if you missed last week, I would urge you to get last week's sermon, because that was you cannot understand today's sermon at all if you weren't here last week. They really needed to be one sermon, but it's a two-hour sermon, so what can you do? So. Last week I laid the foundation for that, and I explained all that, and I talked about how there's no necessary connection at all between punishment or removal of punishment and forgiveness. None. A father can forgive his son, his disobedient son, but still have consequences. Or he can refuse to forgive, still be angry, but cancel the consequences. There's no necessary connection between the consequences and the forgiveness. Forgiveness is relational.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.